Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Republican Congressman Mike Lawler. Mike, if you will, the U.S. has hit its debt limit. What happens now?
Well, we've obviously hit our debt limit many times before. We have incurred a lot of debt, especially in the past two decades. And we're going to have to raise it, as we have in the past. But it's clear that we cannot continue down this path. And so there needs to be a realization by the White House on two levels. Number one, there's no longer one-party rule in Washington. And so they need to negotiate in good faith with Republicans in the House. And number two, that this is obviously unsustainable. We cannot continue to incur debt at the rates that we have. So from my vantage point, there needs to be a good faith negotiation on how we move forward and how we start to get our spending under control and stop borrowing and printing new money at the rates that we have. And so, we will raise the debt ceiling and obviously not default on previous debt incurred. Mm-hmm. But we cannot continue to borrow at the same rate that we have. And so there needs to be a negotiation, and the White House's stance so far that they just want a clean debt ceiling bill and no negotiation is unacceptable.
If I'm hearing you correctly, so when I would ask you whether you're worried about the possibility that the U.S. could actually default on its debt, you are not.
I'm not. This comes up, and I understand the urgency behind it to make it look like we're about to default, but we will work through this process, and if everybody's working in a good faith and trying to address the challenge, then there won't be a problem. And I think that should be the focus.
So, how's life now that you've got to college? You were named to the Financial Services Committee. What does that entail for you?
Well, I think for my district especially, it's important. And for New York State, frankly, we are the financial services capital of the world. And in my district, there's about 30,000 financial service sector employees that work in the industry. And so, this is a great committee to be on, and one that will absolutely have an impact on issues ranging from our capital markets to, the cryptocurrency debacle that went on. So we're going to do a lot of work to really try and buck up our financial systems here in the United States. And I'm looking forward to getting about that work, as well as issues such as housing, which fall under the Financial Services Committee.
Do you really think there is anything that we can do in this country about the abysmal shape of housing for so many people?
I think there is. There's no question we need more housing stock, especially in areas like New York City and in the suburbs. But we need to do it in a way that is done with respect for local control. New York State, for instance, is a home rule state. And so we can't, force local municipalities. However, we can certainly work to incentivize. And obviously, when you're dealing with the federal government, a lot of it has to do with federal funding.
Let me ask you a more personal question. We're seeing stories on the television every morning and on the radio about heroes who have wrestled revolvers and guns away from would-be criminals. Would you do that?
If I was in that situation and I saw somebody who was committing an act of violence, I would hope I would. I mean, I think anytime you're in a situation where people are intent on causing harm, I think all of us have a moral obligation to do everything we can to stop it.
Mm-hmm. I guess we all hope we would do it. It's hard, and when you see somebody doing it, it's quite amazing. You were named to the Foreign Affairs Committee, and so what is your basic approach to foreign policy? Are we giving away too much? Are we not getting enough? What do you think?
Well, I think it's kind of a middle ground. I don't want to go down the route of the Bush administration where we were, getting into nation building. But at the same token, we can't be an isolationist country. And so it's finding a middle ground there. We certainly, you see some of the crises going on in the world right now between the Russian invasion in Ukraine, China's conduct, Iran, North Korea selling weapons to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have serious challenges. And from my perspective, you know, the United States needs to be a leader in the world, but we also need allies, and we need to be bringing our allies along. I think, frankly, you know, former President Trump was right with respect to his approach to NATO and forcing our NATO allies to buck up and be more of a contributor financially. It can't just all be on the United States. And I think so. It's striking a balance and making sure that we are a leader, but that others are also carrying some weight.
Now, Mike Lowell, you're a Republican. How are the Republicans doing? Are you happy with the state of the Republican Party?
Look, I think by and large, voters in this past election wanted balance. They wanted to restore common sense. They wanted rational, reasonable people. And I think you saw within the election, people who were reasonable won. People who weren't didn't. And so from my perspective, I think there's a lot of people within the Republican Party who are trying to make a big difference. And that's where I'd like to see the party continue to focus and move. There's a lot of policy positions and issues going on that we have to tackle. And, you know, frankly, the Biden administration's approach has not worked from an economic standpoint. We cannot continue to increase spending the way that they have. From a national security standpoint, you cannot have an open southern border like we have, where you have tens of thousands of migrants pouring into our communities every day. There are a lot of challenges, and I think the Republican Party is a counterbalance to that. And so that's, you know, where my focus is and why I'm excited to serve on the two committees that I was appointed to. And focus in on the substantive policy issues that we're dealing with.
What about the U.S. commitment to Ukraine as Russia's war approaches its first anniversary?
As I have said throughout, I fully support Ukraine and our commitment to them. I think it would be a disaster to allow Ukraine to fall and Russia to seize unilateral control. But I do agree with some of my colleagues who have raised concern about kind of the open-endedness of this and the lack of a plan by the Biden administration to bring this conflict to a conclusion. And so, you know, I do believe we absolutely need to continue our support. I do think there needs to be oversight. And I do think, you know, the Biden administration needs to produce a plan about how we're going to bring this to conclusion.
So let me ask you this about your place on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Is there anything that sticks out like a sore thumb?
Look, I think, you know, obviously China is our biggest economic threat and geopolitical threat. And I think that is going to be a lot of the focus of the committee, as well as the select committee on China that was created by Speaker McCarthy. And so we will be doing a lot of work with respect to China and their threat to the United States from an economic standpoint and a national security standpoint.
Okay, I only got a minute. So you mentioned China. Are the Chinese bad people?
No. When you look at any of these countries, I wouldn't say any of the people are bad people, but certainly within their leadership, they have leaders that are not acting not only in their best interests, but certainly in the best interests of the world. And I think that's what you see with the Chinese Communist Party and President Xi, and the need to really combat them economically and from a military standpoint to protect our national interests.